Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
It's BudPod 262.
262. You fixed you. Well done, everyone.
Yeah. That's empowering. You fixed you.
Hey, don't thank me. I'm just your meditation teacher. You fixed you.
Yeah. Meditating. That's very... don't thank me, but I'm still glad you paid me whatever it was per week.
Yeah.
For all these classes.
It's like a personal trainer. You go, thanks, man. Thanks for all your work. You really helped me achieve a better physique. And they go, no, that was you, man. You put in the work. You can't then go, all right, can I have my money back?
Yeah, you can't say, hey, you're right. Hey. Start pointing at him in the middle of the gym and going, police. This man just admitted to stealing all my money.
You fixed you, Pierre.
You fixed you.
Yeah. I fixed me. Today I did some meditation. I set it to 5 minutes instead of 10. I meant to do 10. But did 5 and it finished quicker than I expected. But I was also like, I'm not going to do any more.
How do you... It's almost a bit of a trap, isn't it, to sort of think... How much meditation do I need in advance? It's quite difficult to
for the day.
Yeah, how unzen am I today?
Right. Yeah, it's kind of like Sherlock Holmes and his three pipe problems.
Yeah,
full enlightenment problem day. I need to achieve full enlightenment before.
It's like treating meditation like measuring pasta. I think this is probably the right amount.
If you throw your brain at the wall and it sticks, it's done.
If you throw yourself at the wall and the pain doesn't break your concentration, then you've meditated enough. You've done it. You're fully focused. Here's a question. Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
So here's a question that I've got. I was talking to Phil before we started recording, listeners, about I've got a work in progress tonight at the Bill Murray. Thank you in advance / in the past to anyone who came who's a BudPod listener. And apologies for having so little new material to go through. But that's the point of a work in progress, I suppose.
Yeah, it's in progress.
One of the questions I've written down for myself is, what is the difference between a Zen Buddhist sort of outlook on life and depression?
Both say nothing matters. But no, the Zen Buddhist does not say nothing matters. The Zen Buddhist would say everything matters, but not very much. Yeah. I think that's what equanimity is, right? Everything matters, but not really that much. Which I think is better than nothing matters.
If you looked at a guy and he lived in like a little one-bedroom bedsit and like had sold all of his possessions... And instead of bothering with haircuts, was just like shaving his head and stuff.
Yes.
And if you said to him, what are you going to do? You go, I don't know. I'm just going to stare at the wall, I think, all day.
Yeah. You know,
I think he's depressed, but he could be a Buddhist.
It is true.
He's either the most well or the least well guy I know.
Yeah. I mean, there's no coincidence that the two most famously bald shaved people are Buddhist monks. And sort of American pop starlets are the very bottom of a mental health crisis, right? I mean, it's a Dalai Lama and Britney Spears, and you go, well, clearly they're not the same person, but there's clearly a similarity between their outlooks.
Yes, for the Dalai Lama, desire leads to suffering, and for Britney Spears, the financial desires of her hangers-on have led to her suffering. So it does kind of work still.
Yes, absolutely. You're right.
How has she been doing since she was freed? She still seems mental. She's uploading lots of videos of her dancing in her pants.
Yes, well, she burnt down her home gym, didn't she?
Did she?
Yes, there's this quite breathless video. This is maybe at least a year ago now, where she goes, "So my gym burnt down," and it turns out that she like left a candle. I don't know. She burnt down her gym. The gym just burnt to the ground, and people, and I think that's when people went, maybe she should have been under some sort of care. Maybe she shouldn't have been freed. Maybe
candles makes more sense, because I was trying to think, like, how fast were you lifting weights that you just started a fire? The sheer friction of your amazing weightlifting. But no, some sort of candles around a meditation yoga mat scenario, maybe. I bet those yoga mats go up like a fucking candle as well, like a match. They seem so flammable to me.
They do, spongy and flammable, although I'm sure they aren't. And I don't think the Buddhist monks are using Lululemon yoga mats and lighting Jo Malone candles.
It would be... I would hate to see a Buddhist monk and then under his orange robe some really like ass-hugging leggings. I would really hate that.
Juicy. Written on a Buddhist monk's ass.
Did I ever tell you my juicy joke in the style of Norm Macdonald?
No, maybe, but go for it.
It was I saw a girl walking around with juicy written on her ass, but it's her ass. So what's the juice? Diarrhea. That's it. That's my tribute to the great man.
That's Norm. That's normal, right?
That's Norm filtered through a Bud Pod sensibility.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I'd hate to see a monk wearing a brand. I would hate that.
Yeah. I don't think they are allowed. Are they allowed to wear anything except the robes?
I don't know. I was surprised to learn something that made a lot more sense to me, because every now and then I'll see a picture of like Buddhist monks that people have encountered on their various you know, fashionable Western holidays to East Asia, and there'll be monks with like tattoos and earrings and stuff sometimes. And I realized I still had a Western idea of what it meant to be a monk, because in the West, once you become a monk, barring some sort of huge crisis or disaster or mishap or misbehavior, you're a monk for life.
Right.
Whereas apparently, especially in like Burma or Myanmar and Thailand and stuff, you can be a monk for a bit. So it's not crazy to be like, well, I'll be a monk, and I ended up being a monk for about 4 years and then I stopped. That's not because of any crisis. That's normal.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when you go on holiday to these places, and a bunch of monks are walking around, there's always like a white guy pulling out the back. And you're like, you can't be here for the whole hog, surely. They usually are for like a couple of years. I mean, so I use Headspace's meditation app, which is started by, I can't remember his name. His name's Andy
Elon Musk.
Andy Puddlesworth or something like this. Very English guy. And he went out and trained in Buddhist monkism. And he came back and created a meditation app that's made him, presumably, millions and millions and millions of pounds. And I always wonder how he squares that with his Buddhism or his meditation. Or
he's like Mr. Burns learning about recycling. It scrapes the sea clean. Yeah. All the Buddhist monks are like, no. You weren't supposed to profit from this.
Yeah, you want to to sell immaterialism. Is that the term? To sell?
Yeah.
Can you sell it? Is it possible for me to reach enlightenment on my phone? Probably not.
Subscribe for $8.99 a month and I'll tell you how to sell all your stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Can you reach enlightenment on a subscription? Can a free trial bring you to the Bodhi tree? I don't think so.
Yeah, you go, I was one of the lucky ones. I managed to attain enlightenment just within the free trial period, so that was really lucky.
Yeah, I really saved out on a lot of money.
That saved me so much money. I mean, if it had taken 50 years, my word.
Because one of the main lessons that they keep reiterating on in the meditations in the app is, and of course, meditation is a lifelong thing. It's not a brief It's not a quick cure. It's about practice and prolonged practice, and you'll be doing meditation for the rest of your life. And part of me always thinks, well, isn't that convenient for you? Well, what a surprise. Here I was thinking you were going to say, a year subscription should sort you out. Well, but how wrong I was. Turns out it's a lifelong thing, you say. Interesting.
Turns out that when it comes to Big Zen, there's no time limit on how much Big Zen wants you to subscribe to its little monthly package of enlightenment.
Big Zen. It's a real thing, Big Zen.
Yeah, yeah. He's in the pocket. He's in the voluminous robe of Big Zen.
He's in the robe fold of Big Zen. Yeah. He's in the
wooden begging bowl of Big Zen.
The big hanging sleeve of Big Zen. The begging bowl of Big Zen. Yeah,
he's in the begging bowl of Big Zen.
Yeah,
that's why he's pushing all that, all those meditation beads and stuff.
Do you meditate?
I give it a go sporadically every now and then, and it does help. But I can just about hear some weird drilling, so apologies if that's coming through on the mic. It shouldn't, but someone somewhere is doing DIY anyway. I meditate a bit. My problem is that I get very stressed about having a to-do list, and I have this fear that if I did everything in a day that I was supposed to, I'd have no time to do my actual life.
Mm. By so actual life, you mean reading, like, social things?
Yeah, fun. Social things, fucking around, thinking of jokes or whatever. Just general ambient life, whereas if I took a day and I went, okay, today, this is one of those days where I'm going to do everything. And when by everything, I mean, like, I'll go to the gym and I'll shower, and you brush your teeth twice a day, floss at least once a day. Okay, I'll do that. And then I'll do these emails.
You floss at least once a day?
No, I'm saying you're supposed to.
Oh, that gave me a heart attack.
I know. No. I exactly. You're supposed to, though. So yeah. And then if I add meditation onto that, and I moisturize and fucking whatever, and do a little shave, trim my beard and make it all nice, and then go outside and get some sunshine, and then go for a little walk, and then do my emails and do my accounts and make sure I donate money to the nice charity. Just everything. Just I get this feeling that I wouldn't have any time left to do anything else. Make a healthy meal three times in a day. Who's got the time for that? All the dicing, Phil, the dicing.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of dicing. There's a lot of.
And then I add to that
washing.
Sit quietly.
There's a lot of washing vegetables. I didn't think my adult life would involve so much washing of vegetables.
It's constantly shaking the water from the end of the broccoli floret.
What am I, a Soviet fishwife? What am I doing? Half of my life, I'm washing vegetables. It's ridiculous.
I've got a salad spinner because I was like, I cannot make this lettuce any less wet. It's made of water. This has become insane. Exactly. It's the wettest object I've ever touched. I have to put it in a fucking Large Hadron Collider just to fix this
problem.
Oh, yeah,
like when you cut up a cucumber, you're like, well, which is the bad wet, which is the good wet? Is now the wet on the inside? Yeah. Better remove the wet on the outside because I wouldn't want to dilute the lovely, delicious inside wet. Well,
yeah,
it's all
exactly.
Wet, isn't it?
Yeah. I, by the time I stop drying this cucumber, I'll be dead. It is wet.
It is. I've started to believe that life. Well, a good day is like a Jenga block tower, and you know your vegetables, your meditation, your flossing. Each of these are another block in the Jenga tower. But you can build a stable tower with some blocks missing. It's just the more blocks, the better. But you'll have a stable tower with enough blocks. You can miss out a few blocks here and there.
Yeah. This is the thing. I do worry that, oh, maybe if I meditated, it would unlock all the other, you know. But then I think that about multivitamins.
In the back of my mind is a suspicion that I'm missing out on one herbal pill that's going to unlock everything. That's going to get rid of my brain fog. I'll finally be thinking how I've always believed, I think. And, you know, because the whole time I'm like, there must be some supplement. I'm not having enough Genghis root or something. But then I go, well, that can't be the natural order of the things, because Genghis root wasn't available here during the Scottish Enlightenment or the Industrial Revolution. Yeah, I don't think they had Genghis root. So then they did it. So what? Surely now every fucker should be inventing a new energy alternative in their living room with all the fucking Genghis root floating about, but they aren't.
It should be a race of... Humanity should be a race of, like, psychic gods. Just, they've finally got enough zinc and magnesium, so now all limits are gone. Just hovering, communicating telepathically, blah, 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 just...
Exactly.
Like,
yeah, what happened? Aliens would look at us and go, what was this species? It's great. Leap forward. And someone's like, Holland and Barrett. Ah, yeah. We need a Holland and Barrett in order to achieve light speed travel or whatever.
Yeah, we should start eating raw, uncooked, unsalted nuts. Ugh. Yuck.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a raw cashew nut?
I thought they were raw.
But like the ones you get, you buy in a supermarket that are salted, they're roasted.
Oh, fuck, of course. Well, then no, I guess.
It's bad.
Hard?
Just kind of chalky.
Hmm.
I wouldn't say it's any different like in terms of the level of... yeah, chalky, brittle, not as good a flavor. It's oh, man, unroasted nuts, like, ugh.
Raw nuts.
No salt on. You just think, what's the point in this?
Where do you even get that?
Holland and Barrett. That's what I'm saying.
That's it. That's it, man.
Yeah, and you always have the sneaking suspicion that you could dispel your malaise with the right additive or meditating or...
Meditating what if I walked? Meditating does work. Meditating is the one... Meditating like... Flossing annoyingly does work. Meditating, yeah. Flossing, exercise, they all work, but they all suck. Meditation's not bad. Meditation's fun. It's just when you have a busy day, you're just like, do I have 10 minutes to just sit here? And you, the whole time I'm thinking, I kind of need this to end. I need to go do something. But that's what it's meant to solve. And I do notice when I haven't been meditating, I am generally more anxious and more foggy. And it is true. Meditation is great.
I really resent, and this is another thing I want to maybe try and talk about in the show, if it ever exists, is I really resent the idea that, like, I'm so close, like you say, to leading the kind of life that I would like. I feel like I'm so close to it, but there's just one or two things that I'm not doing, like meditating or whatever. And then I think, okay, and then if I start doing the meditating, then I fall off on one of the other spinning plates.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
And then you just go, but I can't. It's not fair. I was so close. You're like the guy from the Twilight Zone. There was time now. And so when I was writing.
Today I finished my meditating and I had to start I've been to the gym today, did my meditation, had a shower, and then it's lunchtime. And I thought, it's already fucking lunchtime. I need to... If I had woken up at like 6, it would be like 9 now. But I can't, I cannot do it. I need so much sleep. I lose so much of my life to fucking sleep. But then if I don't, if I get a minute less sleep than I want, my whole day's ruined anyway. So then I have to sleep. But then sleep takes so much time.
Yeah.
I want to get to, you know, that kind of old people need like 3 hours sleep. I swear to God. Old people. Yeah. I wanted to get there now. Why didn't they give them all the sleep? They're the ones with the time. Why can't we have old people sleep and they can have young people sleep? That's the way it should be.
How do they do that? Is that just retirement? What is that?
It's also just their bodies are done growing. They're not doing anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know,
actually. I think it's always about... I resent the compromises. When I was writing my book, which is available to pre-order now...
Exciting.
Exciting. When I was writing it, I thought to myself, okay, I've got to write this book and be on tour at the same time and do stuff like this podcast and the radio show on Saturday mornings. And. So I just thought, okay, here's the rule for getting the book done. If I do lots and lots of writing and editing and so on, I eat what I want broadly. I just eat whatever I can fucking reward myself with Haribo like an ape. That's the plate I'm going to stop spinning. And it did work, Phil. But I did get very fat. I got a lot fatter. I got the book done, but I did get fat.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I wasn't controlling my diet.
But I think that's very mature. I think it's mature to understand, like, you can only spin so many plates and something is going to have to give. Because it's not, because the book was a temporary new plate. It was, you know, the eating will never stop. That'll never stop being a plate. The book was a plate for a bit.
The eating is a plate forever. But that's again, what like the meditation, where it's like, hey, this is a lifelong thing. That's what I hate.
Yeah.
I hate that I'm going to have to think about not having dessert till I'm dead.
Yeah.
Which is a bad example, because I don't want dessert. I want another starter. But you know what I mean.
I want crisps. You ever have this? I'd have a full lunch and I'd say, I really want crisps right now.
Yeah.
My dessert is always actually I want crisps.
Yeah. I've had a starter and a main, and for dessert, can I have toast? Can I just have like hot buttered toast? Is that a pudding?
The other day I think this is something that will just happen to everyone forever throughout their lives, is from time to time, you have a piece of just butter on toast and you go, God, you know, just butter on toast is really good.
Yeah.
That happens to you like every 3 months, I think.
Yeah.
You'll go, oh, you know what? Just butter on toast is just really great. And then you forget. And then 3 months later, you do it again. You're like, no, this is great. Why do we ever put anything else on toast?
Yeah, I had that view as a child. Yeah, I had view as a child where people were like, what do you have on your toast? I'd say, butter. And they'd go, what? No jam? And I'd be like, you are insane. Why would
They've never heard of butter on toast.
Yeah, but they're like, it would feel to them almost sort of Spartan, these people.
Yeah.
They would be like, oh, well, you're missing out on the jam and Marmite and peanut butter. And I go, da-da-da-da-da. Just slow down.
Whoa,
you're gilding the lily here. I don't need any of that. It's getting in the way of the butter taste.
Gilding the lily.
It's lovely, lovely butter taste.
Yeah, it is good. A natural umami. Oh, by the way, thanks to any Podbuds who may have watched the BAFTA Games Awards.
Oh, yes, Thursday, of course, yeah.
On stream. It was available on stream if you watched it.
You were doing some hosting.
I was hosting. I did like an opening monologue with some jokes, making very inside baseball jokes about the games involved and games in general. But it was a fun night and met some real luminaries of the gaming world, Pierre.
Oh, yeah.
I met Sam Lake. Sam Lake is an eccentric Finnish games developer who I think is Remedy, heads up, or creative director of Remedy. They made Max Payne.
And he is
the face of Max Payne. So he's got this great face, and they just took his face and put on Max Payne. So they're kind of eyebrow up. That's him. He was cool. I met Shelley Blonde, who is the original voice actor of the original Lara Croft.
No.
Yeah, the first ever Lara Croft. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah. And
did she have a butler with her that you could lock in a big freezer?
That was my closing joke. I said, we're all going back to Shelley Blonde's house with locking her butler in the fridge.
That must have killed. Come on.
Yeah, I think that did pretty well. I think that did pretty good.
Yeah. That's a formative memory for so many people.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good night, man. It was a good night. And what a really cool bit was, afterwards, I met the actors who play the Spider-Men in the video game.
Oh.
So Peter Parker and Miles Morales.
Oh, right.
Yuri Lowenthal and Naji Jeter. And Naji had won Best Lead Performance for Miles Morales in Spider-Man 2. And I got to meet them. And it was so cool. Naji complimented me in my suit. And as a full-grown man, in my head, I went, Miles Morales thinks my suit's cool. And I thought, wow, that's really exciting. And then we did this photo shoot where the three of us did the Spider-Man pointing meme.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So I've done the Spider-Man pointing meme with two actual Spider-Men.
And you've been able to accurately and legitimately continuously use the word Spider-Men, which is always, what a privilege.
Yeah.
You can say to people, when I met the Spider-Men. Or you can say to people, this reminds me of when I was hanging out with Spider-Men.
Oh, this is, yeah, know. This is just like when I was hanging out with the Spider-Men at the BAFTAs.
Yeah.
That was sick. That was so sick.
That was so cool. The other day I was chatting to one of the Spider-Men, and
yeah.
Was there anyone there who was like getting mobbed who you had to have explained to you? Because like for me, that would always be the case if I went to a TV or a movie thing. There's always something you haven't seen, some streaming series where everyone's like, oh, that's the guy who plays Alan Clark in Clark's Dilemma or something. And you're like, well, I don't have Apple TV, so I don't know what fucking Clark's Dilemma is.
You know what? Not really. The games people seem to be all pretty chill. I mean, John Romero was there, and John Romero like created Doom and Quake and Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
And he was just there. He presented the final award. And then later I was having dinner with him. I was having dinner with the guy who made Doom, and
that's crazy.
Which was I didn't really process it. But if you think about it, like he's the reason we have first person shooters, really. I mean,
I suppose it's different with actors and musicians because you sort of like you know them from their face and maybe from an ability that they could kind of bust out then and there. Whereas when you're meeting him, you can't be like, hey, just for me. Could you quickly revolutionize the world of video gaming? Just a bit. Just do it as a bit. Just for me. Just quickly do some coding. Just I don't mind what it is, but if you could you write some code on the back of this photo?
Yeah. You know. Yeah, and also I guess we aren't shown these people's faces all the time every day.
Yeah. And if there was any justice, we would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd have his face on big posters saying, Thank you for walking so Call of Duty could run.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, it was really cool. Really cool. I'm still playing the games. I'm still playing all the nominees and that. It's incredible. It's incredible what they've done. It's amazing.
How are you finding being back in the world of video games?
I think it's actually good for my mind. I think it's actually helping me keep my mind clear, and it's helping my memory. Because you have to remember things. You know, you've got to learn new buttons and storylines and missions, and you have to. And it is training your memory again. So I think it's quite good for me.
Yeah, I mean, I find that gaming is a chance to sort of stimulate my brain and turn it off at the same time.
Yes, that's well put. I think that is exactly it.
Yeah, there's nothing else I could quite manage that. I don't think, because like even reading a book or whatever, it's stimulating, but you're not turning your brain off in the same way.
I think my brain is extra on when I'm reading because I'm really trying. I have to concentrate. I really have to concentrate. Trying to learn.
Yes, well, I'm glad to hear that the people at BAFTA Games were quite humble, nice people, because. The other day, Phil, I saw, you know how like on Twitter now it just shows you stuff from just strangers.
Oh, well, if you're on your For You, I'm always on following.
Yeah. Well, I've been spending too much time.
But For You is fun. This is the thing. Yeah. I looked at my girlfriend's Twitter and she's like, your feed is so fun. I mean, it's crackers, but it's fun. And then I realized, oh, she's on For You.
Well, that's it. Mm. So you do get shown this kind of insane revolving sushi buffet of lunatics.
Yeah.
And I saw one the other day. See what you think if you would ever tweet anything like this. And they were talking about they were talking about themselves. And they said of themselves, and this is someone who doesn't work in entertainment. They work in like quite a specific field. So it's not like they're like some crazy like WWE wrestler or a singer, pop singer. They said, I am one of the top voices of my generation.
What?
Yeah, about themselves. Sincerely. In their field. Yeah, 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 yeah. And I clicked through onto their profile. They had like, not that this means anything, but they were just like a person who worked in a specific field, had 3,000, 4,000 followers.
I'm the top person.
I'm one of the top voices in my generation.
So was this like a tech thing or a business thing?
It was something a bit fiddly, but it was something where like they manifestly it was an absolutely crackers thing to say.
Yeah, I guess there's no context where that isn't mad.
Yeah, because even if you say, you know, I'm excellent in my field or I'm one of the best out there, but of my generation, I don't care if it's in China, I'm still better than them. I'm still better than most of them. I've got no idea of them, but I'm going to assume.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I'm still better than the billions of people I haven't met. It's a fucking crazy thing to say. Yeah. Imagine saying that. It really shocked me to see someone just say, I'm one of the greatest in the world at what I do. Just really with a stony face. It was so funny and mad and unsettling.
And that was the whole tweet? It wasn't like...
It was the whole tweet, yeah, basically. It was in response to a discussion of whether or not humility was good or something like that. It was on the topic of it.
Ironic.
I know, yeah, I know. But their point of view was like, no, it's good to sort of boast, actually.
You're right, okay.
For example, I'm one of the greatest voices of my generation. And they really meant it. And I just thought, that's really perturbed me in a way that I'm...
Twitter's done, man. Twitter's a fucking asylum. Oh. Twitter's just like... Arkham Asylum has been left alone and everyone's gone, you know what? We'll just forget we ever did that. They do what they want to do on there. Try not to look in too many times a day.
Well, speaking of asylums where you shouldn't look in too many times a day, Phil, let's do some correspondence.
Yes! Let madness reign!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
I cut my thumb knuckle open because I dropped a spirit level on it. I was hanging up a picture and the spirit level fell and it hit my thumb and I genuinely went to my head, surely not. And I looked down and the flap of skin was off. How soft is my fucking skin?
Is this because you moisturize?
Ugh. Yeah. My skin is too supple and pure and nice. It's just so fragile.
Yeah.
A spirit level. It felt like... Are you sometimes shocked by how little something needs to fall to hurt you? It felt like 2 inches. And it hurt
Yeah. Yeah. The amount of momentum needed for it to burst open your soft peach-like skin was so little.
Or when you slightly walk into something with your head and you're like, dong, and you think, what if I was running at that? I was barely moving and it hurt. What if I ran at it? Can you imagine?
Yeah. Well, you'd have exploded into a shower of guts. Phil, we have an email from Ali.
Ali, our good pally.
Dear Robespierre and the Philistine.
Ah, I love that. French Revolution.
That's good.
Yeah.
The Terror.
Was he called the Terror or did he die in the Terror?
That period of time was called the Terror.
When the revolution was eating its children.
Yeah, when they were doing all the head chopping and people like Robespierre said, no, the terror should continue forever because it keeps everything nice and fresh and revolutionary.
Wow.
And then that didn't go very well, which is weird for a revolution. Normally they go so well.
Robespierre is in the Napoleon movie, right?
Yes, yes, he is.
He gets shot
at the start. He tries to shoot himself and misses through his own face. Yeah,
that's it. Did that actually happen?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm not sure. My Robespierre knowledge is lacking. The terror gets very confusing because they have all these names for parties and waves and...
Oof.
It would be nicer if it was... Yeah, that was one of the struggles of the Napoleon movie. Trying to excitingly depict the quite boring series of meetings that led to him actually taking over.
Yeah, they skipped a lot of stuff. It went just straight to the defenestrations.
That's it. So, Ali says, I was prompted to write in after receiving the attached email, which I received after ordering some environmentally friendly toilet paper.
Ah, I wonder if it's the same brand as me.
So, the email is from Bamboo.
Oh, okay. No, mine is not Bamboo, but I'm very excited to hear this.
Yeah, Bamboo. And it just says, welcome to the Bamboo community. Let's plant trees together. Which is a funny way of talking about shitting. And I don't think they meant that.
They are logs. They are logs, Fear.
Hey, let's just say Bamboo's great for when you're out planting trees. You got to go plant a tree. That would be a euphemism for a spectacularly large shit.
It's like planting
a fucking tree in the toilet bowl.
Just you thumbing at the bathroom behind you going, if you excuse me, I need to plant a couple of trees.
Sorry I was so long. It was like planting a tree in there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, welcome to the Bamboo community. And Ali says, it reminded me of your conversation about how everything being a community nowadays and how much Phil disliked that.
Yep, everything's a community. You're not a community. It's not a community. I bought Luro from you. It's not a community.
Yeah, me and the other Bamboo community members aren't meeting up every week to talk about how to help each other plant trees, as it were.
Wiping each other's asses.
Yeah, no one from the Bamboo community will be at my bedside when I pass from this earth.
Yeah, it's been a really tough time, you know. The wife left, she took the kids, I was fired from work, but the Bamboo community really pulled together and they've been my rock.
I would not be here today if it wasn't for the Bamboo community. They saw me through the worst of it.
I tried this material out. I need to bring it back about how I'd never want to be in a community because communities only have to come together over something terrible.
Yeah.
It's always bad to be in a community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough to sell material sometimes to normal people who are community minded or just they instinctively the marketing works on them and they go, but that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you want to say to them, no, it's not nice, and nor am I, okay? I am not nice either, and still be a sympathetic figure on stage. Anyway, Ali says, being a former English teacher turned journalist... Well...
A hack. We've got a hack here, hey?
Yeah.
What are the words for journalists, are there?
We got a hack, a journo.
Journo.
I
want to say gumshoe, but that's a detective.
Yeah, but it's kind of the same vibe, isn't it? Big coat with a trilby with a little thing in it.
Running into phone boxes.
A snoop.
Hmm.
Yeah. Being a former English teacher turned journalist, linguistically, when I think about being in a community, I think of it in terms of things that you would express that you are rather than things that you do.
Hmm.
For example, I am British, but I shop at Sainsbury's.
Right, so British is the community. Sainsbury's is just something she does.
Yeah, if I met anyone that identified themselves by the type of toilet paper they bought, I'm an Andrex man myself. Every time that person's name came up in conversation, until the day I died, that would be the first thing I think of.
That's interesting, and in a way, I feel it feels like an American thing with like I feel like Americans did used to say that about like cigarettes, like I'm a lucky strike man myself, or beer. It seems to be sort of addictive, harmful substances that you can form a sort of identity around.
I'm an OxyContin man myself. I think in America you are what you buy.
Ah, yes, well observed. I think that is probably right.
Especially
because
there is
so much choice that they're so proud of, I suppose.
Yeah.
By making a choice, you are sort of planting a flag in the ground of your identity, saying this is the one I chose.
Yeah. Whereas the closest thing we have to that is like, you know, if someone shops at Waitrose, you have to go and make a noise.
That's it.
I guess.
But here, you just shop wherever's nearest. I used to shop at a Waitrose. Yeah. Now I shop at Morrison's. It's just nearest.
It's also like even that little noise about Waitrose is still just a reflection of class, which is the actual thing it's reflecting. It's not about the supermarket. It's about the class it implies.
Yes. Yeah. But it all comes back to class.
Yeah. So Ali says, I also have a little tale to share.
Ooh.
Ah.
Do go on.
I have a very dear friend that I met at university who is kind and sweet and has been a great support in some difficult times. Sounds like the bamboo community to me.
Really put together.
Oh, wow. During one of the lockdowns when activity was limited to just walking about, she expressed the desire to go see some bluebells.
Ah.
What a charming
sort of
person.
Enid Blyton activity.
Yeah, without the racism.
Well, let her finish the story, Pierre. We don't know that.
That's true, actually. Yeah, sorry about it. Sorry, Ali, didn't mean to presume. She expressed the desire to go see some bluebells. So we went to Hampstead Heath in the hope of finding some and then having a crepe afterwards.
A crepe?
Yeah.
A crepe.
Very nice. When I was growing up and people would say crepe paper.
Yes. Is that the same crepe?
That very thin, yeah.
So crepe just means thin, does it?
I don't know, actually. It's a good point. But I would always hear it as cray paper.
Like, no one was saying, the Cray Twins paper.
Yeah. Very thin gangster's paper.
Yeah.
Because no one could ever be bothered to say crepe paper.
Crepe paper. Yeah.
Get some cray paper. Right, some cray paper. Right, got it. Paper from the crays. Anyway. Go to Hampstead Heath to see the bluebells and then have a crepe afterwards. We were there for a while, walking all over the heath, but had no luck and decided to move on to the crepe part of the day. When, as we were leaving the heath, I spotted some bluebells about 20 meters away in a wooded area. Yeah, success. Without thinking, I said quite loudly, "Look, bluebells!" and pointed.
Yeah.
What I hadn't realized until the words were out of my mouth was that about 10 meters beyond the bluebells was an exposed naked behind.
Oh! Oh, no.
So 10 meters beyond the bluebells is a bare ass.
Oh, no. Horrible.
Presumably in the middle of shitting in the woods. The owner of the ass quickly clothed themselves and disappeared into the undergrowth, but it was too late.
Running off like Bigfoot.
Yeah. But it was too late. I'd opened a Pandora's box of butts in front of my kindest friend, who had only ever wanted to see bluebells.
A Pandora's box of butts.
Yeah. We continued on to get crepes, a bit shell-shocked. I remember saying something like, "There's an open toilet block just up the path." And my friend said in a very small voice, "They probably get some kind of sexual kick out of it."
Almost to herself.
Yeah, probably get some kind of sexual kick out of it. And to transfer to that level of jadedness from being the kind of person who says, "We should go see some bluebells." What a terrible decline from charming innocence to jaded detective on the police force. Also, it's quite a funny prank to say to someone, "Look, bluebells," and they go, and they just have to see a bare
shitting ass.
Where? Ah! And then the guy, presumably a guy.
It's a guy.
Like, he's bare-assed going, oh, this is a terrible emergency for me and my life. This is a low point of my life. And hearing two women going, look, bluebells. And just quickly having to like yank your pants back up and like sprint away. Like a fucking fugitive.
Oh, God. People are vile.
Also, how aware was that guy that bluebells were near his ass that when he heard that, he knew they meant near him?
Ah, yes, maybe he always shits near bluebells, so he always hears people coming.
It's good luck.
Yeah, but then he's sort of self-defeating because he's standing in a place that is naturally attractive to onlookers, which is a place with pretty blue flowers. He should go somewhere where no one wants to look at the flowers.
Yeah, he should go somewhere where all he hears are people saying, God, this is the ugliest part of the park. Let's walk swiftly.
Yeah.
Let's walk swiftly without looking at the undergrowth, given how dull it is. Being flowerless and all. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, like, always shit near bluebells is the kind of advice that, like, a medieval person would get. You go, right, because it stops the plague somehow. Yeah. Oh, okay. It stops the miasma from coming out your bum and hitting you in the face and giving you plague. Right. That makes sense. I'll make sure to find some patch of bluebells next time. Thanks, doctor. Thank you. God bless you. Well, now, Phil, it's time to go to the VIP patch of bluebells in the Patreon. Oh,
yes. And what lovely exclusive bluebells they are. To sign up for the Patreon if you want to access to them.
Oh, check out my Instagram if you want to see me trying to be a young influencer and unboxing some of the uncorrected proofs of my book with Frank Skinner. We did an unboxing, Phil. And I'm seeing you on Wednesday, and you're gonna get yours.
Oh, great.
Copy of the book, I mean.
Oh, excellent. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
So check out that on Instagram for a fun unboxing video if you like that kind of thing.
Oh, and follow me on Instagram for a very sporadic release of reels. Sometimes there's a whole bunch. Sometimes there's nothing for months. you're on your toes the whole time.
Yeah.
You never know with me.
Edge of your seat.
Yeah. But otherwise, see you next time. Love you lots. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.